Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens, to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves, with which the water swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Amen. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Last week, we began our reading and consideration of the book of Genesis. To be very candid, we will be dealing with this first passage of the Bible for a number of weeks before we proceed. We need to lay a foundation upon which to build a fuller and more complete understanding of all that God has done in His creation. Everything is centered in Jesus Christ. And to just skip past the fact that God created is to place a very sedimentary underpinning and valuation of what is truth and what is reality. We cannot just accept the general statement that God could have done this. It needs to be the bedrock upon which our entire salvation is set and anchored. In the beginning, God created. If that is not our reality, then we truly do not have any reality in Christ Jesus. 1 John 1:1-3. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is where our eternal life is set and published. Our every hope and belief rests on the Word of God from beginning to end. We cannot just pick and choose what to believe and what to discount as merely plausible. God either did it or He didn't. His Word is either life or it is a mere whim leading to eternal nothingness, which is the lie of this age. The psalmist had to deal with this seeming dilemma, and he saw the truth established in the belief of God's great contemplation of men. Psalms 8:3-4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? In the grandeur and the majesty of all of God's creation, we see the very God of life, the Creator. He has thought upon His creation from before time began, and has made mankind in His own image, and He proclaimed it to be very good. Genesis 1:26-31. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. The creation was not an arbitrary thing that just popped into the mind of God. It was not just a chance for God to create order out of chaos. This universe is governed by the very laws of God's nature, keeping order and demonstrating the very design and purpose of God's handiwork from beginning to end. This age declares that there is no purpose in life, and that we are merely the happenstance of a billion tiny processes that somehow came together over the course of eons of time. It holds its theories in impossible and arbitrary circumstances that all yielded an unlikely set of unexplainable mutations and evolutionary developments. Whereas true science sees the patterns and the workings of a design from the smallest elements of life to the cosmic depths of the universe. We find this complete revelation of God's work recorded for us from before the eternal ages of the ages in the very wisdom of God. From before time began, His wisdom was revealed. Proverbs 8:22-31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While He had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when He established the heavens, I was there. When He inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when He set for the sea its boundary, so that the water should not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the world, His earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. God's wisdom saw the establishment of His plan and purpose in the creation of all that we know with our human mind's eye. The universe that we see and with which we interact was made in the outworking of the very wisdom of God. The fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ, the very Word of God, is the wisdom by whom all things have come into existence. The very salvation of mankind was at the heart of the creation by virtue of the wisdom of God incarnate. As we read last week in 1 Corinthians 1:18-31, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is our answer to the wisdom of this age, which emphatically declares that life is random and without purpose. The wisdom of this earth revels and delights in proclaiming that anyone who believes that there is a supreme being who created anything is a fool with no grasp of reality. Yet, the reality of the ages is that, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We do not boast in anything of our mind's thoughts or conceptions or ideology. Everything is centered simply and wholly in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source and essence of life everlasting. He is our wisdom, just as he is the wisdom by whom the entire universe came into being. As the Apostle Paul reiterates in Ephesians 3:8 through 12, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. In preaching Christ, we proclaim that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. We have a responsibility as Christians to honor the eternal purpose of God in declaring the truth of what he has done in and by his Son. We do not try to convince others through argument and through debate. We do not try to play the part of God's defense attorney. We show forth the truth and the reality of God and his creative hand in operation through the testimony of lives lived unto him. It is through the living demonstration and witness that we bear in our day-to-day walk in the Lord that shows forth the reality of Jesus Christ. We live our lives in the boldness of the confidence that we have in Christ, through the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as he guides us. We declare Christ as the wisdom of God in our constant and fervent obedience to him. When we are called upon to give verbal account of the hope that is within us, we do so, counting on the Holy Spirit to give us the words and the wisdom of the knowledge needed. When we face the trials and the tests of our witness, we count on the Lord to be our power and the strength and the ability to endure all to His glory. We do not fear the world with all its cunning and entrapments, but rather we see it in terms of being in the utmost need for the truth and the active wisdom of the Lord God Almighty. Considered by many as the oldest book of the Bible, Job also deals with the declared wisdom of God in the light of this world's renunciation of the creative hand of God. Job 38:4-11. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who sets its measurement, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when bursting forth it went out from the womb? When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it, and I set a bolt and doors, and I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop. This is the measure of the foolishness of mankind to say that there is no creator, no God by whom all is created. The absolute proof of the hand of God in operation is evidenced in the very boundaries that He set forth within the universe. Everything and everyone is held in place and committed to the path that He has ordained. Both the sun and the moon only do that which is in God's heart. So also is the case with every man, woman, and child. There is the divine protection and order and witness as to the every movement within God's creation. As we read in Proverbs 16:3-4, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Even the wicked are under the mighty hand of God to only go so far and no farther in their every endeavor to exert a supposed superiority over the realm that they occupy. Their every action and motive and careless thought of self-aggrandizement fails, as God says, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop. Our Lord Jesus dealt with the boundaries He created and controls, as He states the following in Mark 13:19-20. For those days will be a time of tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation which God created until now, and never shall. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect whom He chose, He shortened the days. Everything in all of creation is under the mighty hand of God for His sake and to accomplish His purposes in Jesus Christ. He has ever had mankind in His heart in order that the glory of God might be fulfilled in the salvation and the redemption of mankind unto Himself, in the giving of His only begotten Son. There is no trial and no tribulation that is beyond the scope of His might and His power. Every circumstance and each dilemma will only show forth more and more of the wisdom of creation that He put into place. This is no arbitrary or random action of some unknown powers of nature. It is the witness of the divine plan and purpose of God, by whom life came into being and will be forever in place by the power and the wisdom of Himself. So be it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen.